European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen warned yesterday about possible export restrictions if the EU goes on exporting vaccines and not getting promised supplies back.
All options are on the table. We are in the crisis of the century. And I'm not ruling out anything for now, because we have to make sure that Europeans are vaccinated as soon as possible.
And British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab, in turn, accused the EU of brinksmanship as the war of words over vaccine supplies escalates.
Keeping trade and vital supplies of medical equipment or vaccines is critically important. We've all been arguing for this. We expect those assurances legal contracted supply to be respected. Frankly, I'm surprised we're having this conversation. It is normally what the UK and the EU team up with to object when other countries with less democratic regimes than our own engage in that kind of brinkmanship.
The UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab there. And later today, the European Medicines Agency will be giving its assessment of the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine after a number of countries suspended its use last weekend. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, has more on all of this. Let's start with that EMA review into those unusual clotting events. They have already said, though, Tony, that the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. So what more can they add today that will make member states change their mind about using this vaccine?
I think, Anya, they want to show that they have done everything that is possible and necessary to reassure people that the AstraZeneca vaccine is safe. And they have, on a number of occasions now, said that the evidence so far shows that the incidence of these blood clotting events seems to be no more than normal in what you would expect in the general population. But the problem is that some of these thromboembolic events, as they're called, are very rare. And for that reason, the general data that scientists can look at is quite small, so it's hard to make any definitive judgment about any causal link. So that's why they're bringing in a lot of experts in the field of thrombosis and blood clotting to see what exactly the risk is. But clearly the EMA and the World Health Organization have signaled already on a number of occasions that the benefits of the AstraZeneca vaccine far outweigh any potential risk associated with blood clotting. I mean, after all, it's clear that people are dying from coronavirus as well, whether or not a small number of people have died from blood clotting, which may have been what you would expect in the population anyway, even if there hadn't been a vaccination campaign.
And while we await what the medics have to say about all of that, talk to us more about this diplomatic war of words that's been going on over vaccine supplies. Ursula von der Leyen being pretty pointed about the UK not having an open road back to the EU on vaccines which are being exported from the EU.
Yeah, I mean, the temperature between both sides just shows no sign of lowering. And again, yesterday, this flared up when Ursula von der Leyen set out a clear warning that the EU could bring in further export controls if it was felt or perceived that those countries that produce vaccines, whereas they are receiving exports of vaccines from the EU, and she said that the EU has already exported 44 million doses to 33 countries. If those countries which produce vaccines and perhaps which don't need as many vaccines as European countries do, she could restrict, or the EU could restrict, exports of vaccines to those countries if they're not showing a reciprocal openness, as she would put it. But of course, in the British press, this was immediately seized upon and portrayed as the EU grabbing UK vaccines. So of course, this is not helping the already fractious relationship between both sides, including on issues like the Northern Ireland Protocol.
Yes, and Dominic Raab accusing the EU of brinksmanship on the vaccines, the kind of spat he said reserved for countries with less democratic regimes than the UK, and also having a go at the EU over the Good Friday Agreement on St. Patrick's Day. So not a lot of diplomacy going around there, is there, Tony?
No, I mean, this is part of a pattern that we've seen really since the beginning of January, and it usually brings in the issue of the Northern Ireland Protocol and the tensions on vaccine rollouts. And it's hard to see, you know, how you can avoid these kinds of flare-ups given the political sensitivity of both issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a sense, for Brexiteers, the success or the superiority of the vaccine rollout in the UK is a kind of vindication of Brexit, although the EU would say that there is absolutely no connection between the two things. But, you know, this is testament to the very febrile nature of the relationship at this point in time. And there's no exit that I can see at this point that would get both sides back to a more even-handed chemistry.
The other issue, of course, coming from the Commission yesterday is this travel certificate plan. There's still a lot of uncertainty about how it would work. Is this likely to be more successful, do you think, Tony, than the traffic light system of last summer that never really got off the ground properly, did it?
Well, I think already member states are putting in place their own requirements for travel, and airlines put in their own requirements for travel. So in a sense, you know, there is a system by degrees being put in place that will provide people with credentials, if you like, to cross a border, showing that they have had a vaccine, showing that they have a negative COVID test. So what the European Commission proposed yesterday was a holistic system that would show in an integrated way if you've had a vaccine, if you have recovered from the virus, if you have a negative COVID test, in a platform that will be interoperable across the EU, so that member states who would develop their own systems for a vaccine certificate could plug into this EU-wide system, and that would ease travel and the flow of business and so on across the EU as the summer starts to open up.
And finally, Tony, we'll be hearing from the Commission's public health spokesperson later on in the programme. But, you know, given the problems with, you know, the delays in AstraZeneca supplies and a slowdown now too in the UK, even with all the rows about exports and imports, this target, this EU target of 70% of adults vaccinated by the end of the summer, is that still achievable?
Well, this was a point that Ursula von der Leyen made quite strongly yesterday. And of course, she acknowledged that the first quarter had been disastrous, really, in terms of targets not being met. But she did spell out in quite graphic detail what is coming on stream in the second quarter. So there will be 200 million doses from Pfizer-BioNTech in the second quarter. There will be 35 million doses from Moderna. There will be 70 million doses from AstraZeneca, although they were due to deliver 180 million doses in the second quarter. And then, of course, Johnson & Johnson will be available. They will have 55 million doses. And, of course, that's a one-shot vaccination. So when you add all those numbers up, they do start to mount up, you know, well over 300 million doses that should start to bring that target of 70% of adults by the end of the summer into some kind of realistic horizon. But again, targets, as we've seen, can be put off course, and, you know, the same production problems might still arise, but the Commission does feel a lot more confident now that the second quarter will be a lot more different from the first.
Tony Connolly, Europe editor, thank you very much indeed for that.